Make sure y'all were alive there for the start of the meeting. I know you are. And I'm looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to this meeting. I really enjoyed myself with you last year and always enjoy being around the Gossmans and Brother Howard and his family and just excited about this week. Let me encourage you to come back, okay? Tomorrow night. And I think, Pastor, if you gave away a car every night rather than having a quiz, you might draw more folks in, but I wouldn't come if you gave away a car every night. Seriously, you don't have to take the quiz. Surely don't let that keep you from coming. I missed 2 out of 5. And I have a master's degree from Bob Jones University, so I'm not real sharp. Brother Gossman can fill you in on that after church if you'd like. So I kept mine, brother. It's in my Bible, okay? I'm already out of the running. I put down Bethany and the tree of knowledge of good and evil after you repeatedly told us it was the species of tree. So, sharp as a marble, amen? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad all you young people are here. You've probably seen some of the equipment up front here, and the Gossmans are sitting in the wrong place, but I'm going to try to miss them when I get to shooting the bow around the room. And hopefully if I hit them, it won't be in a vital area. So open your Bible. I want to start by reading a verse of Scripture, because this simple, and believe me, it's very simple illustration, I want to just illustrate for you tonight with something that might be a little fun. It's an accurate illustration of what this phrase means in the Bible. Look at Romans 3. I don't know if I told you where to open. I just said open your Bible. So Romans chapter 3. And right now, I just want to read one verse, verse 23. I want to keep it really simple. And Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short." That's our topic. Come short of the glory of God. We see here that this is a all-inclusive truth. All. You know what the Greek for all means? All, okay? Everybody. All have sinned. The Bible tells us what sin is. I've had people say, "Preacher, is smoking sin?" Well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke, but it does say your body's a temple of God, and you're supposed to take care of your temple and not defile it. So if you have common sense and you can read the Bible, it puts it together for you. "Preacher, is it wrong to kill your cat, put the cat in the microwave," or something like that? Well, you can find principles about how good men treat their animals with kindness and so forth. And I've had people ask, "Preacher, if someone commits suicide, can they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? Is that the unpardonable sin?" And listen, opinions abound about everything under the sun, including what sin is, who has committed any sin, what happens to people who have done sins, is there any way to escape from the judgment God clearly puts on sin? Thank you, sir. Now I can, is that a point? What is that, my brother? Okay, that's fine, son. Now if I need it, I've got it. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. So you get the point here. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does it mean to come short of the glory of God? Well, that's wherein my demonstration will afford some insight. We're told literally by the Greek scholars, whoever they are, that expression literally has the idea of coming up short of a mark, all right? To come up short of a mark that's been set. In the Bible, there's another story, true story, about David and Jonathan, Saul's son, one of David's favorite fellows. In fact, they were best friends. And they got involved with a shooting of an arrow. In fact, David was watching while Jonathan shot these arrows. And it was already agreed beforehand that if the arrow went a certain distance, then that was one answer. Or he'd shoot the arrow, I guess, and then he'd tell the young man to go get it, and David would be hiding. And I don't know why I'm getting into this story, other than the fact that when Jonathan would shoot the arrow, he'd then tell the young man, "No, it's beyond that. Go further. You're short of the mark." And so, and that's a whole other story. But to shoot an arrow, if I were to shoot at one of these, aren't there some sheep back here? Or there used to be. Cows now, okay. Well, if I were to pick out a cow back there, let's say it at 100 yards, Brother Nathan, and I took my homemade longbow out of Osage wood cut from Vaughn Robinson's farm last summer, just so you know where this came from, it's a local bow. Would I hit that cow at 150 yards with this primitive weapon? Well, thanks a lot. Probably not. Now, he's correct, because I'm not sure the bow could shoot 100 yards, no matter how I held it on a 45-degree angle. The old English bows they have in the movies that they killed each other with were much more powerful. So I would come short of the mark of the cow that I was shooting at. So a mark is simply what you're aiming at, okay? Now the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the mark of the glory of God. All right, we want to figure out what that means tonight in these few minutes, but I want to demonstrate what it means to hopefully hit the mark and then what it means to miss the mark, okay? Now, I'm going to shoot right between brother's ears here. No, I'm not. All right, the first mark we have is that big round circle. That's a very special target. Pastor found it in the parking lot Sunday morning, I think he told me. So I've spent a lot of money on that target there, the black ring there. How many of you think I can get an arrow inside that ring? Raise your hand. Well, some believers. I see Nathan's hand is up. Now, if I fail, this is the end of the illustration, okay? So let me take these off, or I might be doing sheetrock work tomorrow. Okay, let's see if I can get one. Whoa, look at there. I got one in there, didn't I? Now, all right, well, that's a pretty easy mark, right? I mean, that's pretty good size. Tell you what let's do. Let's make it a little more difficult, okay? Because, you know, it should be as the target gets smaller, hitting it should be what? Harder. All right, now remember that, okay? Remember that principle, all right? Well, let's see. How many of you are Christians here this morning? Okay. Well, most of you, and I'm glad to see that. So what are Christians supposed to do? Are they supposed to go to church? I was hoping to get more than one amen to that, okay? Yeah. Well, in case you're wondering, the answer to that's yes, okay? So can I, as a Christian man, I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was 20. God saved me out of a wicked, wicked life. Oh, I was a real bad sinner. Not that I'm proud of it, but just to tell you, God can save anybody. You be real still now. God can save anybody. So I've been trying to do this good thing, go to church faithfully, okay? But if you notice, that target's a tad smaller than the big ring. How many of you think I can go to church the rest of the week? Okay, if you're still with me, all right? Well, I hope, by the way, if I miss this, I'm coming to church anyway, okay? So just so you know. But sure, that's a little smaller target. Well, that wasn't exactly great, was it? Well, but I made church. Okay, good. Well, I'm living the Christian life, man. I'm going to church. I got saved, and I'm going to church. I'm some kind of great Christian, right? Well, I'm going to church. Okay. Well, let's make it a little more interesting here, okay? Let's think of something else we're supposed to do as Christians. How about pray every day? Am I supposed to pray? Do you think that would be a biblical thing to pray every day? Well, sure it would be. The Bible says we ought to pray without ceasing. In other words, we should be in an attitude of prayer all the time. I'm going to put the arrows here so I don't tear up your mic, brother. I just stuck the last arrow through the top of it, okay, or your little sound system. All right, well, let's see if I can be faithful. Ooh, that's a little smaller. And the way I shot that go to church sign, I'm not brimming with confidence here. I mean, as a Christian that you've been saved a while, which have you found more difficult to do? Show up at church 3 times a week or pray faithfully every day and through the day? Well, I think it would be, I mean, if we were honest, and, you know, we'd like for everybody to think here that we're always praying. But the fact is, we're all still sinners, aren't we, saved by grace? And there's times when we get a little busy one morning. We got so much to do, and you get the picture. But anyway, I'm going to try to be faithful to hit praying. I don't think I hit that. I mean, if I did, I barely hit it. I may have to get Nathan to come up and... It's actually touching, okay? Whew. All right, so... Well, I can't even pull the arrows out. So I prayed. Okay, well, that was a little more challenging, though. Well, quickly, I want to wrap this up. Let's get even a little tougher here. I wrote up a little thing here. The Bible says that we ought to be kind, right? And I put be kind 24/7. Yeah, I just heard the groans back there. I think I heard some husbands groaning. Amen, wives? Can we get an amen? Now, we'll leave that off, okay? All right, well, oh boy. To be kind 24/7. Now, let me ask you something. Is that possible for a Christian? Yes. Is it likely living in this body that we still have and going, is it likely as a Christian? Now, I'm talking about 24/7 kindness to everybody that you have a relationship with. Well, I think if we'd be honest tonight, we may have been unkind in something we said or thought or repeated to our wife we heard or the way we talked to our wife or the wife talked to the kids, or I think in the last week that we may have to just say that we've probably failed God in this area. So it's a tougher thing to hit, and I'm going to give it a shot, but these targets, see? Oh, it was easy to go to church. But going to church isn't the ultimate mark that I'm really trying to hit. I mean, I wanna be faithful to go to church, and I ought to pray, but I also supposed to be kind 24/7. Now, why am I missing these things? Somebody. Because I'm a lousy shot. All right? That would be the first thing that would come to Nathan's mind. Of course, he's no gem of a shot himself. He missed a coyote last night, standing still. You didn't know that would get to church, did you? Well, it just, since I'm doing so poorly up here, brother, it did, okay? Because I don't, boy, that's some target. I don't want to be the Lone Ranger in this thing. Now, finally, and I'll be done with this demonstration, you can see that this bow, let's put it this way. You wouldn't want me doing brain surgery on you with this bow, okay? It's not an instrument of precision. In fact, when I deer hunt with these bows, and I do, and I actually kill deer with them, my shots are about as far as where I've been shooting from. That's the way I set up my deer stand. I put corn out in my living room, and the deer come through the door, and I jump out from behind the couch and kill them. I'm kidding, okay? Oh, boy. You see that? Can you see that white thing there? I've got CL on that. Anybody want to take a guess what that stands for? The first word would be Christ. Christ-likeness. Romans. The scriptures say, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of, anybody? His son, yeah. The image of his son. In other words, as a Christian man and you as a Christian lady or young person, our goal in life, really the goal God has for us and the goal that God is working toward in our life is that we would become like Jesus Christ. And of course, that would take in all of his virtues. kindness, prayer, love, mercy, goodness, faith. And all of that would be to perfection 24/7. So, I'm back here with my primitive weapon, right? And you've already seen how good I am with it, amen? I've hit the bag every time, and Pastor's glad. He wasn't wanting to do any sheetrock work this week. I hit the dumb circle that Pastor provided for me from the parking lot. I hit, I think, the church plate, and then it's kind of going south a little bit. Because they're big targets, they're easy targets, and when I got to prayer, I barely grazed the edge of it, and then, of course, the kindness thing I just missed. And now I'm going to take my primitive bow, and I'm going to aim for Christ-likeness 24/7. How many of you believe I can hit that little dot? What? Where's all the...
I think you could hit it once.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point coming up. Brother, don't steal my thunder like that, okay? But I notice the confidence level has dropped in here. Yeah, we've seen you shoot. That's why. Amen. You know, that was good enough to kill a deer, Brother Nathan, at 10 yards. That would have been heart-lung, don't you think? Sure it would have. Come on, son. Give me. You're mad about that coyote story, aren't you? Okay. Yeah, I didn't tell him about me and Brother Gossman getting stuck either. We'll leave that one off. Brother Gossman made a good point. He said, you might could hit it once. You know, I'll bet if I stayed here after church tonight with these three arrows and I spent 4 or 5 hours in here, I'd hit it a few times. But I would miss it a bunch of times. Now, why am I missing that target? Somebody give me some reasons why I've been missing that target. Just give me one. It's hard, did somebody say? It's a small margin of error. Would you agree? You know, hitting the circle and hitting the pie plate's no big deal, but it's real small. What are some other reasons I can't hit the target or I haven't been hitting targets? Not just that the target's hard. What about the bow? And we don't want to blame me, certainly, but the bow. It's a primitive tool. If I had a .22 rifle with a scope on it, I could probably hit that little thing a lot. But it's a primitive weapon. What's some other things? I'm 65 years old if I live to May 21st. I wear glasses to read, and so my eyesight's not as good as it used to be. I mean, I've got all kinds of excuses, okay? I'm human. When I pull back, I don't always get to the same exact spot. Somebody might have sneezed when I shot, and that threw me off. There's all kinds of reasons I can't consistently hit the target. I'm human. The target gets smaller and smaller. Now let's go back to the Bible, Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know, Paul says, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Stop. What's the law? It's the law of God. It's the written word. It's all of the commandments. It's all of the principles, the precepts. It's the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots in the Bible. It's the plan of God for yours and my life. It has everything in here we ought to do, and it has everything in here that we ought not to do. And the Bible says the law was given for a purpose. And we read that next. That what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. We're under it. We're responsible to it. Everybody in this room is responsible because God is your creator to do what this book says and not to do what it says you shouldn't do. And so this was given that every mouth may be stopped or shut. Now, I was given reasons here why I can't hit the target. I'm old. My eyes aren't that good. I'm shooting a primitive weapon. The targets keep getting smaller. All of these are excuses as to why I can't hit that Christ-like little button. And that's the same way it is in the world of men with God and His law. I've had people tell me, and you too have had people tell you, why they can't do what they should do, or why they keep doing things they know they ought not to do. I've had people tell me, I've had women tell me, well, I wouldn't bark at my husband if he'd treat me with respect. And I've had children say, well, mom and dad don't understand, and that's why I talk back to them. Now, we've all got excuses why we can't do what the Bible says. And God gave His law that every one of us would shut our mouth. And we'd quit making excuses. And we'd own up to the fact we're failures morally. None of us are moral champions. We'll get into that. That every mouth may be stopped, He said, and all the world may become guilty before God. And so, on the days when I'm too busy, I think in the morning, because I've got a list of things I've got to do. When I'm too busy, I say to pray, I've got to really get a lot done today. I'll pray later. I really should just shut my mouth and confess that I've sinned against God and that I've not prayed. You see, I can do what I'm supposed to do through the power Jesus gives me as a saved man. But even as a saved man, I've been saved from my sin as far as being God's child and going to heaven when I die. I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And when I miss the mark, the law reminds me, don't give excuses, just shut your mouth, that all the world may become guilty before God. And then the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by keeping the law, there shall no flesh, no human flesh, will ever be justified with God through trying to go to church and trying to pray and trying to tithe and trying to be kind to everybody. No human being will get to heaven by earning a spot in heaven, by trying to do as good as you can, because inevitably we all miss the mark. As Brother Gossman said, you might hit prayer one day. You might hit Christ-likeness in one relationship during one part of the day and then turn right around and fail God in your thoughts in a different relationship in an hour from then. We're all sinners, folks. And so we miss the mark. The Bible teaches that all of us are what the Bible calls natural people. Natural men, and using the word men for everybody. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. People out here in the world are just natural. And that's why they don't have a lot of use for the things the Bible says. That's why a lot of them never go to church. God is just a concept to them. God, in many cases, is just a fairy tale to many people out here. They don't know if he's real. Some of them say they know he's not real. But we do know he's real. But you see, God tells us that there's these marks that He has for us, and He's written them down in the Scriptures, and yet then in the Scriptures, Romans goes on down to say that all have sinned and come short of the marks of God's righteousness and glory that we ought to hit. So we're in a mess. I cannot live right with God 24/7. I am powerless to do that. I can do my best, but I'll miss. And so will you, and so have you and I. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that understandeth this, the scriptures say, Romans 3, 10, 11. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the real problem is that when I miss some of these targets, Nathan might chuckle. Nathan might give me a hard time after church. Say, boy, you can't hit anything, can you? And I'll suffer. And I'll say, no, I can't, Nathan. Stop making fun of me. You know, I might do that. And he's probably going to give me a hard time for telling y'all he missed a coyote last night with a rifle, a scoped rifle. But you know what? He's already laughing, so I don't think he really hates me for telling you that. And if he kids me about missing the target up here, I'm going to laugh it off. The consequences of missing stuff in front of you is very, very small. Now, this past year with my bow that's just like that one in a tree stand, I missed several deer. I know it's hard to believe, but I shot right over their back. 10, 12 yards, funk, shot my arrow right in the ground. Some of them stood there and looked at me. And then, of course, I'm reaching for another arrow, but then they run off. I shot some deer last year, and I didn't hit them exactly right. That's easy to do with that bow, by the way. I'd hit them back in the guts or something, and they'd run off. Or I'd clip a front leg, and they'd run off never to be found. And those are hard things to accept, and I've spent some sleepless nights wondering what I did wrong and how I could have made a better shot. I've spent hours and hours and hours in the briars and with flashlights crawling around looking for blood. There's consequences to messing up your shot. But really, it's been, what, several months since deer season now. I'm over it, okay? I'm over it. I missed them. I wounded them. I didn't shoot perfect, but I'm over it now. I don't lose sleep about it, but listen to me. Missing God's mark is different. Because the Bible says the wages of sin, which is breaking the law, which we've just seen, is missing God's mark of perfection. The results of you and I missing God's mark is death. See, God takes it seriously. And so if you've ever committed a sin, and you have, according to the Bible, then there's a sentence hanging on you. It's called death. And that death is threefold. It is spiritual death. People that are dead are not alive to God. In fact, that's how we come into the world. We come in dead to God. And then we live out our lives and we prove how dead we are by not seeking God and going against His law at every turn without any guilt in our hearts. And if men persist in missing the mark and ignoring God's call to come and be saved, they will ultimately experience the second death in the lake of fire. And so to miss prayer and to miss going to church and to be unkind to your wife, your husband, or your kids, or young people, to be unkind to the nerd at school, if there is such a one at your school, to be unkind to anybody is to die and burn in hell. And we pile these sins up all through our life. So there's a need, isn't there? So what's the need? What does missing the mark necessitate for us? Well, let me ask you this. This past season, I told you I've missed several deer. I wounded a few. I even killed a few, I'm glad to report. I hit them with the truck on the way to the hunting ground. No, I didn't kill them that way. I actually killed four bucks with a bow just like that. I won't tell you how many I missed, but I did kill four. And I got a hog with it. But what would you tell me if I came to you and said, look, I can't seem to hit anything. I'm shooting and I'm shooting and I'm shooting and I'm missing the mark and I'm going to bed feeling guilty for wounding deer and missing deer. What would you suggest I do? Well, some of you might say, why don't you get your eyes checked? So I go to the doctor and get my eyes checked. That might help me quit missing the mark. Or someone might say, you probably ought to practice more. And Nathan would probably say, why don't you get a real bow to shoot? Or why don't you use a different broadhead? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you work out with some weights where you're not so flabby and you can shoot better? And all of these fixes. But what do you do if you've sinned against God and one sin will end you up in hell? How do you fix that? Especially, in fact, in view of the fact that you are naturally a sinner. It is your very carnal nature to sin. And in view of the fact that Paul said that our flesh stays with us once we get saved. And in view of the fact the apostle wrote, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What do we do? I'm a sinner. I have sinned. One sin's enough to send me to hell forever. I keep sinning. I will sin in the future. And God says the penalty for sinning is death. So what do we do? Jesus Christ is the answer. You say, well, how's He the answer? Glad you asked. Listen to what it says. I didn't read these verses a minute ago. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world will become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds or keeping the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge that we've sinned. But now, listen to this, the righteousness of God without the law, apart from the law, is manifested, it's made known, and that's why I'm here. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Hey, the men who wrote the law and the prophets who wrote the prophets, they predicted that this one Jesus would come. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short. They've come short. They continually come short of the glory of God. And there's Christ-likeness every day. Shoot at that one a while. We all come short. And so Jesus Christ came. He lived a perfect life. Christ, the Bible records, never missed the mark. Never. Because He was God and He is God. And He kept every jot, every tittle. He kept every word of the law perfect. And then He went to the cross. And there He died, the righteous one for the unrighteous one. The one who never missed a mark died in the place of all of us mark missers. All of us that don't speak kindly all the time or are selfish a good bit of the time or that are full of lust some of the time. Jesus, the one who never missed a single mark, who was totally pure, He died in place of me and you who would have to die eternally in hell to pay for all our missed marks. Christ's righteousness is now put on my account because I have believed in Him as my Savior. In God's mind this evening, my slate is clean. Hallelujah. Based on the perfection of his Son. Now, practically, I still miss the mark. And God's given me a way to handle that now that I am forgiven for all of my sins, past, present, and future. In God's eyes, I'm justified. But now, as my Father, my daily relationship with Him depends on me hitting the marks He's given me, or when I miss, confessing my misses as sin. And that way I daily keep a good, open relationship with Him as His Son. I became God's child when I was 20 years old. I repented of my wicked life and I asked Christ to save me. He came into my heart. He washed all my sins away and I started walking with Him. I started going to church. I started praying. I started reading my Bible. I started trying to treat my wife the way I should. I started trying to be a good witness. But all through my Christian life, since I was born into His family at 20, I've missed marks. And I've gone to God, my Father, and confessed my sin. And guess what I found out? The Bible says it. He is faithful. And He's just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so I can walk with Him day by day as I confess my misses to Him. But it started when an old, dirty, rotten sinner came to God the first time. And I said, I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell. Lord, please save me. I believe Jesus died in my place. And that's the day He washed all my sins away and I could begin my journey with Him and hitting His marks and asking forgiveness for the times I miss His marks. Now, realistically, the more you shoot that bow, Nathan, the better you get. When I first started shooting these old bows, we might have been doing sheetrock work, okay? And if I let you get up with it, the sheetrock would be in danger probably. But as I've shot it more and more, I can hit the bag generally every time. And I can hit that silly ring most of the time. And I can hit a pie plate most every time from that distance. But when it gets down to grapefruit size and lemon size and peanut size, it's a shot in the dark. But I get better at it. And just like that Christian, I'm 65 if I live to May 21st. And, you know, going to church when I was a brand new Christian, I was going to church, but I wasn't as faithful and committed to church attendance at 3 months old as a Christian as I am now that I'm 45 years old as a Christian. You see, as I practice being a Christian and I go through my growth, I'm getting better at hitting God's marks. But listen, the best Christian in this room is still a mark misser. And we better keep a prayed up account with God. Hey, how have you been missing the mark in your life? We've got a week of special meetings. Tomorrow night, Friday night, all day Sunday. It's a good time when you're having special meetings to ponder your walk with the Lord. Be honest about it. That's why I'm here to preach. That's why Pastor brings in a different voice for a week or so here and there, to preach the same truth with a different mouthpiece, that God might use me to help you to see your need in life. If you've never been saved, you need to come to Jesus Christ. There's no cure for what's wrong with you except the new birth and faith in Jesus Christ. He will save you if you'll believe in Him as your Savior. If you'll invite Him in and turn to Him, He'll save you. He'll wash away your sins. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. If you're a young person, you're an adult, doesn't matter. Pastor and I have already talked about this. After church, we're going to be available. And in just a moment, I'm asking you to bow your heads. And if you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you don't remember really accepting Christ once and for all and what He did on that cross. If you haven't done that, we're going to be willing to spend some time after church downstairs, and we'll lead you to Christ if you want to be saved or talk to you about your need. But then, Christian, all of us are in a stage of Christian growth. All of us. And the marks that I might be struggling with now as a Christian may be totally different than what you're struggling with. But the fact is, if we're missing the mark for God that He wants us to hit, then this is the time of year, and it's always the time, but certainly during special meetings, it's a good time to do business with God and bring that sin, that pet sin, that habitual thing that bothers you and hampers you, bring it to the Lord in contrition and prayer and humility. Get one of your brothers or sisters, if you're a lady, to pray with you about that thing. Get somebody to hold you accountable. Don't be satisfied just to go to church. Aim for the little Christ-like goal in every area of your life. Let's bow for prayer. Why don't we go ahead and just stand to our feet? Let's bow and just be quiet for a moment. Let me ask you just to search your heart. What's the mark you're missing? What's the one the Holy Spirit just whispers to you? Husbands, is it anything concerning the way you act at home? The tone of your voice as you speak to your precious wife? Ladies, is the Holy Spirit in your heart shining the light on an area in your home life, your parenting, your child rearing? Or it could be anything, folks. I'm just asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that when God saves us, He puts the Holy Spirit in us. And He is a faithful witness. Would you respond to Him now? Would you mark that miss of the mark is something you're going to address this week? Would you go home tonight quietly all by yourself, get away from your husband or wife late or early tomorrow morning? Kids, would you come to that missing of the mark that God's showing to you, and would you ask God for help? Would you set up a time to talk to pastor in confidence about your need and let him pray with you and maybe counsel you? With their heads bowed and eyes closed, there might be somebody in the building here say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. If I die in a head-on wreck going home, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I would like to talk with you and pastor, or you or pastor, however you want to do it, after church." Would you? I'm not going to come get you, I promise. I don't do that. I'm not going to make you do anything, but if you'll raise your hand, it'll be a step that you could take publicly just between me and you to say, "Yes, I need help," and I'd talk with you. Anybody? Quickly, I'm looking. I'm not seeing yet anybody. All right. Father, we give our hearts and lives to Thee. We want to hit the mark for You on a regular basis, knowing that we'll never be totally 24/7 successful, because we do still live in this old body. And yet, Lord, we also confess we know we don't have to sin. We can't use that excuse, because we can do all things through the Lord Jesus. And so, God, I do pray, though, that practically men will go home and they'll face their biggest miss, their continual miss. And that ladies would go home and be honest. And, Lord, even that husbands and wives would talk, and maybe young people and fathers with young people. I pray, God, this would be a week that You'd open us up by Your Spirit and in Your love to work in our hearts. If there's anyone here that didn't raise a hand but they need to be saved, God, I pray You'd help them to have courage and stay after and talk to pastor or myself and get the help they need to come to know Jesus as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, you come.